Every business has 10 problems at any given time that need to be solved. And the way we solve our problems is by asking questions and getting answers that help us to get to the next step, to get into action and try things. Because we can't just solve problems in thought, we need to actually take action. And to help you get into action, to help you feel confident and provide clarity so you know what to do next, I am hosting two free, completely free, live Ask Me Anything sessions on May 21st and May 22nd. They are divided by pre-launch. If you haven't launched yet, I'll take questions about that. And then post-launch, if you have a business and you're ready to grow it, or maybe you have questions about whether you checked all the boxes correctly, I'll focus on those questions. And to register totally free, you go to foodbizsuccess.com/AMA2024. Get yourself registered. You can come to one or both of them. And it's a way for you to get to know me and my expertise after working with hundreds of packaged food brands and helping them launch and scale to 100K and beyond. This is a great way for you to come and ask that burning question so you get an answer and can move forward and get more success more quickly. When we get into motion and action, we see success and we get momentum. So come join me, get yourself registered. The link is also below in the description. See you there. Welcome to Your Food Business Success. This podcast is for early stage entrepreneurs in the packaged food industry ready to finally turn that delicious idea into reality. I'm your host, Sari Kimball. I have guided hundreds of food brand founders to success as an industry expert and business coach, and it's gotta be fun. In this podcast, I share with you mindset tools to become a true entrepreneur and run your business like a boss. Interviews with industry experts to help you understand the business you are actually in and food founder journeys so you can learn what worked and didn't work and not feel so alone in your own journey. Now let's jump in. All right, Jess, I'm so excited you are here. It's so fun. We've been talking back and forth for a couple of years now, and I finally get to have you on the podcast and the YouTube channel. So welcome, Jess Young of Bubble Goods.
Yes, thanks for having me. I've been a longtime follower and fan of all things biz success. So it's kind of like surreal to have our worlds now collide.
Yeah. And I've been a big fan of Bubble for a long time as well. I think we connected maybe in 2020 originally. So we've been orbiting around each other and definitely a place I recommend brands that I work with to go on. So tell us a little bit about the history of Bubble Goods. And you are the founder, you are an entrepreneur, you're figuring this whole thing out. And just tell us a little bit about what the platform is.
Yeah, so Bubble Goods is a marketplace for highly curated, better for you brands to ship directly to customers across the country. So we're very much like Etsy meets Erewhon, and Thrive Market is more, to make a comparison, Whole Foods meets Costco. So bulk foods over there, but as opposed to on Bubble, you'll see very independent brands, mom and pop, a lot of brands that most people have never seen before, all with vetted ingredient labels that are ready to ship to customers across the country. So definitely a hotbed for all the latest and greatest products that are looking to go to market. Our typical food brand that sells with us sells at a very local level. So they're trying to get into a Whole Foods, but they're most likely at a green market or natural food store in their area. They are attempting to sell on Shopify, but don't really understand how to acquire customers or build that online audience. And with us, they can create a listing real time, self-serve, import inventory if it's on Shopify. We have a plugin app, and then get up and selling really within the week as long as they're approved and can drop right into a national audience immediately. So that was our goal in starting the business, to just make it as easy as possible for brands that have amazing products to sell them to customers who want those amazing products, but the disconnect was previously too large.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you only bring on certain kinds of products though, right? There is some, tell us a little bit about that. So people listening know what's
Yeah. So
allowed.
Our bubble approval process at Bubble Goods, we don't accept products that contain refined sugars, dyes, gums, preservatives. And that was really us drawing a line in the sand within the food industry, just saying, hey, these products are shipping directly from amazing makers. These additives aren't really needed in such a direct line for food, and really stripping it down to kind of truly, natural, better for you. We don't have distributors or, other people in the mix for getting those products into customers' hands. So we wanted to take that out of products as well, especially in building this, great space that we are on the marketplace. So everyone who sells really backs up their neighbor on the site with really standing behind quality and great foods.
Yeah. And I love that what you said about, I love people going on Shopify. I help people set up their Shopify all the time and try to get it, working for them. But you're one of thousands and thousands, if not millions of, brands that are on the internet, all, let's just take one kind of product, a coffee brand, right? Like, how many other brands are you competing against on Shopify or any other e-commerce platform? And you have to, every time, you're going after one customer, one customer, one customer. And I think, what are the stats? Something like 1 in 100 actually convert. Like, even if you get, if you got 100 people to your website, it's a pretty low conversion number of people who actually buy. So with what you're doing is like, there's just an automatic marketing piece that you're already plugging into and you already have a customer base, right? Mm-hmm. So that's such a huge benefit.
In today's world, a 1% conversion even is great. I think it's even less than that is as market standard right now, which is wild. I think starting a business even 5-6 years ago, you could cut through the noise in today's market, especially in the post iOS 14 and the GA4 ecosystem that just went up like last month. Targeting is harder than ever. And so, I think that's why you see a lot of brands that have success building community, building audience. You really kind of have to have that behind you to succeed in today's marketplace, for lack of a better.
I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer. Sure, if you want to do your own website, great, because you want to have that as well. But I mean, Bubble Goods, it's a fairly simple approval process. There's no upfront fees. And then you guys take a commission on the back end, similar to like a wholesale, you take a cut of that and that's it, but you're tapping into your whole audience. So it just seems like a win-win.
Target, naturally, our core customer, she is in the middle of Ohio, right outside of a major city. That's like always the person we think about targeting so that we can do the best job for the brands that are hosted with us, and really have a deep understanding. So brands can do what they do best, which is make amazing products and sell them and ship them out. So, 100%. My background is in the food space, and I was at Hugh Kitchen back in the day. I was at a meal kit company that kind of went up and under that didn't understand growth and audience. I joined Daily Harvest as the first employee, headed up operations. We took that company from 0 to 100 really quickly, but really had that deep understanding of product and audience and matching that up along the way. And then I left to, start Bubble really with that understanding of matching customers with amazing products, and sort of, bringing that back in. So,
yeah. So you're celebrating a big milestone and you have kind of an announcement that you can make here as well, that this will go out after you've made the formal announcement. So tell us about, you are onboarding your 1,000th brand, which is so exciting, and making some changes. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. For anyone out there who has started a business during the pandemic, it's been it's quite the roller coaster. So we are, and maybe by the time this video goes up, we would have already onboarded our 1,000th brand, which really is just a testament to the supply side and the need for what we're building on the platform, which our brands just really need a home and a home that is taking care of them in the right way. So it's been a huge achievement for the team. I think embarking in this, you know, it was a tough sell to get anyone to join the platform, which is like, what is this thing? There aren't any other products or brands. Like, what is Bubble Goods? Who are you people? All the way to, you know, we have a team of 8 and growing, many of whom are my colleagues from Daily Harvest, to build the platform. And we're super, super proud, to now be hosting so many amazing products and brands like across the country. So, yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. And then you're doing a little bit of a brand shift as well. Most people might not even notice, but always fun to talk about that. So how has it changed? Like you said, 3 years in, and that's a huge milestone to still be here, right? Like you said, starting a business during the pandemic.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. When we first launched, we had the domain getintothebubble.com. We're incorporated as Bubble Goods Inc. Bubblegoods.com wasn't available at the time. We have since acquired bubblegoods.com. And part of this milestone release is leaning into what our full, like, incorporated name, domain, just having everything match all our social channels.
Yes.
You know, as a startup, you're like, never always matches or is perfect. It's definitely, you know, in that camp, the marathon, not the sprint, to just see everything come together. So we also did a logo refresh. So to reflect that, so our logo used to just say Bubble. It now says Bubble Goods, and everything matches digitally.
Consistency. Oh, congrats. Yeah. I mean, I call it B minus work, right? You just have to get it out, you know, MVP, get the minimum viable product out, just get it going, test it. Fail fast. If it's still going, then you make the investment to go get that domain and some of those other pieces. So yeah, I was I did a book launch party last week, and I did some fun trivia. It's really fun. And one of the questions that I had was like, what was my original logo colors? And it was eggplant, lime green, and red. And I just had to laugh. I was like, I don't know what I was thinking. And it was terrible. I did it myself. But like, you just got to get something out there. And then I invested in my amazing graphic designer. And now it's like much more polished. And they were like, we want to see. So I sent it out in the last email. But it's just funny to look back. I mean, it's fun. You know, you're like, wow, look how far we've come. We're so professional now.
I know. And even when you think you're the most professional, like, you'll probably redo it anyway in 3 years.
Yeah, 100%. That's just part of entrepreneurship. Like, we think it has to be perfect to launch. It's like, what is perfect anyway? Because even if, like, perfect just prevents you from actually doing the thing, and you're always going to look back and be like, oh, I can make it better, you know, once it's working. I'm just going to take a wild guess that after working with so many amazing brands over the last few years, that you have learned a thing or two about how to increase your sales, how to be found, how to be the one that customers choose when you are on an online platform, especially, I'm sure, in general. But let's just take, if you are on Bubble Goods or you're on another marketplace, give us all the tips and tricks. We want the keys to success right now.
I think there's a few different camps when you're looking at how to grow. So, like, let's go totally grassroots. If you're in the green market, I think it's community. How do you stand out in the row at the green market with your tent, your signage, that like moment of connection, both at the stand and then post the stand? So, like, do you have an email sign up? Can someone have a QR code and like follow you on Instagram? So you're kind of like staying in their mind, all the way to like brick and mortar. Let's say you graduate and you got into like a local natural food store. How do you stand out then on the shelf is the question. And you know, again, like amongst in your category, lots of other products that typically people will just walk by. So that I think then goes back to that community piece, whether you're on a shelf at the Green Market, on a virtual shelf, which I'll get to in a minute, like on a Bubble Goods or an Amazon or Fair. So it, you know, currently is really going back to community. So presence, community, like that voice, the kind of like 3D effect. You know, you can have your 1D, which is like your brand name, your 2D, the visuals and branding, but like that 3D and community piece that we always reference a lot of. And, you know, all the way to like marketplaces. So something like a Bubble Goods, an Amazon, a Fair, if you're selling on like an Etsy, as a different type of CPG, you know, you are competing within category, you're competing within community and kind of subtype within those larger marketplaces. So definitely, you know, putting yourself under that microscope, we encourage a lot of our, you know, brand partners to look at. If you're a customer shopping on Bubble Goods, how do you show up when someone's searching for your product or searching for your category type? So if you have a cool kale chip company, how is your product ranking within kale, kale chip, chip, and really kind of paying attention to that user experience? I think sometimes it's like, oh, I'll make this product. I throw it out into the universe. Like, why isn't it working? Why isn't it happening? 9 out of 10 times, that's the easy part, actually. And that's why that analysis paralysis of like thinking of your branding too much can actually like hold you back. Really think about, you know, how are people finding you, talking about you, picking up the product and then shopping again. So like get that initial conversion and then start worrying about that repeat and like laying bigger and wider foundations.
And we talked about the importance of like, okay, you get your listing up, now try to put on those newbie glasses, like you're your own customer. Like we have the curse of knowledge, right? Where we're so close to our product and our brand. And you may need to work with other, you know, bring in friends or family who aren't as close to it to navigate. How can they find you? Like, how easy is it to actually find you on, let's just say, Bubble Goods, right? Like, is it easily searchable? Where do you show up in the ranking? Then when you're there, does it make sense? Is it captivating? Does it draw you in? Like, you know, how are the photos, right? Like the description, all of that stuff. So you have to put on those new glasses, if at all possible, or get help if you can't see it.
Yeah. And I think that's hard sometimes when you have a product, it feels like an extension of yourself, like your own, like a child. And sometimes you don't want to hear like your kid's not performing that well in school, or maybe your kid, I don't know, like I'm going with the kid analogy here, which this could like really come off wrong, but like maybe your kid,
I have to say your business is like a baby, you know, it is.
But anyway, like for products, like maybe your product needs some new packaging because it looks like all the other, you know, products that are starting up, they're in a brown gusseted bag and they have a label, you know, stuck to it. That's great. Like that's maybe what you need to get going, but how do you start to differentiate? Can that sticker stand out a little bit more? Can you do a better job than your counterpart at that community piece and storytelling to differentiate? And then, yeah, with things like marketplace and something we message a lot of, and especially in our 1,000+ brands, is like things like metadata tagging. So within our system specifically and other marketplaces, you have brand and product level tags so that the marketplace itself can pick up and do a better job at pointing customers to you. So, for example, some of our products are, we have brand level tags. And so you can tag your product as a female founded company. So when it's Women's History Month and we're highlighting female founded brands, we as Bubble Goods are easily able to pick up and market your product for you. So kind of making that job easier for community to do the work for you.
That's good. Because I noticed when I was on there, you know, you had like, now it's summer, right? So you have summer essentials. So you guys aren't like hunting through 1,000 brands trying to find them. You're looking for the tags that are going to lead to that.
We do pride ourselves on having great relationships with everyone who's partnered with us. But at the same time, sometimes we do miss it. And brands and brand partners will reach out and say, hey, oh, I didn't see my product included. I think I'd be a great fit. And sometimes we disagree and we're like, oh, I don't know that. But sometimes we're like, oh my gosh, good catch. We throw them in. They join that month's campaign. Yeah. Which we love and encourage. Back to that kale chip analogy, like how am I ranking? We love when our partner products and brands point out to us, like, why am I not showing up? I've done all the steps. We've even caught bugs in our own system that way. So, and it's helped everyone across the board.
I love that. You guys seem really friendly. You know, like if you're on Amazon, you don't get to have these conversations with anybody. Believe me, I've been dealing with Amazon with the book myself. So
we're pretty anti-Amazon. I mean, Amazon has a place in terms of like the experience you'll have, much, much different, much more curated, both for customers and for people who sell with us.
Before we switch gears, I think there were a couple of other things that you and I were talking about before we started recording that are really important to increase your online sales, which are those keywords for SEO, your photos, and customer reviews. I'd love to hear more about what you have to say about each of those.
Yes, photos are a lot. We are pretty strict actually about that with Bubble specifically, but we have it down to a bit of a science for what converts, what does well, the order of the photography. So there is a bit of a system when you're uploading your products to sell that we a photo guide to follow. So it makes it pretty easy for brands to be consistent across the board, but also like have better performance. We've taken that off your plate to even think about, but all the way to, again, those like meta fields, like metadata is super important. So maybe not a lot of brands know this, but your UPC code that goes into your, under your barcode is also used in picking up your product. So let's say you search for your product on Google or Yahoo for a marketplace that is trying to push your product more. It's great to include that. So your product is picked up across all those channels and can compete and doesn't get buried. So that's something that a lot of brands, like we're pushing them to do more of that. They kind of skip because they want to get their products up and selling. So we're trying to do a better job of like, for us, how do we get brands up and selling quickly, but at the same time message like, hey, these things are really important and you'll get picked up. You can kind of ride that bigger wave, you know, across the board with things like that.
It's really important that as entrepreneurs, as brand founders, I mean, founders of any kind, right? That we take responsibility for our success and that we, you know, it's one thing, great, get it up as fast as you can, but then don't go with, you know, the attitude of like, well, why isn't it selling? Like it's up. Like, what else do I need to do? Like learn best practices. And yeah, like I said, you're competing even on your platform, you're going to be competing against some similar brands. So doing the work, like doing the legwork, getting the good photos, writing the right descriptions. You know, I really encourage people in Master Your Business to really think about what business are they really in? And it's not kale chips. That's not the business you're in. The business you're in is an emotion. It's something that you're satisfying in the customer because our buying decisions are driven by emotions, right? It's like, why do they choose one kale chip over another, right? There's something about it that's driving like, ooh, I'm going to feel so healthy and aspirational. And
it's emotion or it's just FOMO. Like, oh my gosh, everyone has this thing. I need it.
Which is an emotion, right? It's a fear of missing out for sure. So yeah, what's the hot brand? I want to look cool. That's an emotion too. So I think sometimes we get so clinical and it's just, we think it's about kale chips or we think it's about coffee or any other product. And it's like, that's just your commodity. You're actually selling something bigger. Like if I'm comparing coffees, I'm going to go with something that I'm like, ooh, that feels like it touched me, right? Like they're speaking to me and they know, they get me, they get it. And I like the branding and it, you know, it all just kind of fits with like me as if I'm your target customer. And that's always one of the most painful parts I find for founders is to let go of the idea that everyone is their target customer and to narrow it down and focus, but they're going to have so much more success when they do.
It's so true. And that's hard. Like we talk about, you know, what's on our virtual shelves, right? And you can't online pick up a product or there's no like tasting at the end of the aisle. And so, you know, telling that story through your descriptions and engaging with the retailer. So whether it's Whole Foods or Bubble Goods, at the same time, like you have your own audience, but you have your retailer's audience. And asking yourself, like, how are you engaging with the green markets audience that day, with Bubble Goods audience? Because that's that power of that amplification for your branding and your storytelling.
I always call it the three C's. So you have to captivate first. So you got to get, you know, if I'm looking at coffee on your site, how many, you know, I'm scanning really quick and I'm like, ooh, that one, ooh, I like those colors, or I like that brand or whatever, right? There's something that draws me in. And then once I click or I pick up your product on a store shelf, then I need to connect. Like, you got to connect with me. And that's that emotional connection. Like, I need to feel like, ooh, I'm in your tribe. And it also could be like, oh, do they have the right flavor? Or do they have the, you know, I really want organic, or, you know, and so it may not be for me. And then I go back. But ultimately, like, to get them to convert, we got to do those first two things.
I'm going to add a C, cash. Because I think too, you can have the best product, you can connect, you can do all that. But I think also too, like, you need significant backing. So operating your business, getting it funded the right way, all of those lovely back end detail.
Oh, which is what I specialize in. So for people listening to the video here on the,
yeah,
your vendor email, like, I work with brands sometimes that it's like, yeah, you got all the things going for you, but you don't have any profit margins. So at the end of the day, you're not going to last. Yeah. Like, we do have to have cash, at least like have a path to profitability and have some of those margins.
Yeah.
And you can improve your efficiencies over time, mm-hmm. but in food, right? Like, food and beverage, it's so passionate and it's very democratic, right? We all eat. And so everyone is like, I make the most amazing thing, right? Like, I couldn't just start a car company because it takes too much cash.
You could, but yeah.
But I got to go raise a lot of money, right? And I need tech and supply chain, and there's a lot I need. But I can go start, you know, a cookie company fairly quickly with a low barrier to entry. And so I think that it's easy to get in, but we have to run our business like a business. And that cash is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So congratulations on everything. And congratulations to all the amazing vendors that are on there. And just, it's such a testament to the need for something like this. So amazing.
Long overdue. Long overdue.
All right. So everybody can find you on Bubble Goods, bubblegoods.com, all of that good stuff.
All the channels match, which is great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
And you can sign up to sell on Bubble Goods by visiting bubblegoods.com, checking out the footer link, or you can visit sell.bubblegoods.com to make an account and get selling.
It's been a pleasure to have this conversation with you and help people learn how to sell better and just educate them about what you guys do.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
I hope you were taking some notes, because we hit some really key points there on how to really take responsibility, take ownership of whatever listing you are doing online, and how to really improve your results to get those sales, because we can never just abdicate responsibility to any one platform, whether that's your own website, you're just like, hey, I'm here, why aren't people buying? Or it is on a platform like Bubble or Amazon or Thrive or Fair, any of those. You really have to do the work and optimize it, tweak it, and it's not just a one-time thing. So the tips that both Jess and I gave, I hope are really helpful. And I highly recommend getting on Bubble as a very early stage. As long as your product meets their requirements, it's a very friendly, as you heard, it is meant to be very user-friendly, vendor-friendly, and they're doing the work for you. It's kind of like a farmer's market where I, as the market manager, am doing a lot of the marketing for you, right? We're creating more vendors, more energy. It's more efficient for people to go to one market instead of trying to find you in your little pop-up somewhere in the city that you're in. And so it's the same exact thing, but it doesn't mean that you don't do work on your end. So go ahead and give it a try. might be the 1001 vendor or 1002, whatever it is. And let me know you're on there so that I can go support you, so that others can go support you. And of course, come get support inside Food Business Success. Get on fuel calls and let's make sure you have that other really important C, the cash, the profit, the path to profit built in. Until next time, have an amazing week. The smartest thing you can do as an entrepreneur is to invest in a who to help you with the how, to speed up your journey and help you skip the line. When you are ready for more support and accountability to finally get this thing done, you can work with me in two ways. Get me all to yourself with one-on-one business coaching, or join Food Business Success, which includes membership inside Fuel, our community of food business founders that includes monthly live group coaching calls and so much more. It's one of my favorite places to hang out, and I would love to see you there. Go to foodbizsuccess.com to start your journey towards your own food business success.